Dear brothers and sisters, it's already past the first half of the year, 2019. Are you ready to press on more vigorously during the rest of the year? It feels like time flies. We have a lot of testimonies. You know, last year I was healed of my aching leg. My ligament was ruptured. But while I listened to the message, I was healed and gave glory to God. It's already been a year since that happened. So once again, let's give all thanks and glory to Father God, who loves us. Father, thank you. Lord, thank you. While pondering over how we should spend the second half of the year, I remember what senior pastor asked, with what kind of plans do you live? But not many people said that they had set up their own plans. Few people raised their hands. A senior pastor was surprised, saying, don't you live with any plans? Of course, there were some church leaders who said they were living according to their plans, but most of them didn't. The senior pastor then advised us that we make yearly, monthly, and daily plans. But setting up our own plan is not about living according to our will, regardless of Father's plans. He was reminding us that once we set a clear goal, we lead an organized life to achieve it, and He was also urging us to make achievements one by one to attain our goal. Once we have a clear goal, we make plans and devote our efforts to achieve it. Let's say we are planning on buying our own apartment 5 years or 10 years later. We make detailed plans and make efforts. As for students, if they aim to enter a college a few years later, they need to set a goal of reaching a specific score required for the entrance. They have to find out what subjects to study and make plans accordingly. Unless we devise such organized plans and make efforts towards the goal, we might face undesired outcomes like failure, bankruptcy. According to the research conducted by Dr. Dave Call from Virginia Tech, people who make plans on a regular basis make 9 times more achievements than those who don't have plans. But according to one survey, 80% of people today live without goals in life. So if we have plans, we remind ourselves of the plans we make. Do you often remind yourself of your goals in life? And what kind of efforts do you make to achieve them? It's really crucial that we devote our efforts towards our desired goals because we are allowed to live only once. But a more important thing is we set up goals not just for our life on this earth, but for our life in heaven, where we will live forever. However, some individuals who fail to set up well-organized goals in faith end up going astray from the way of faith. What kind of goals do you have in your life of faith? I believe many of you will answer, it is to live forever in New Jerusalem with Father God and the Lord. But if you wish to achieve this goal indeed from your heart, you'd have specific plans on how to live each day and make efforts. You'd have plans on how to achieve a heart of spirit and whole spirit, what sins to cast off, and how to resemble our Lord. And day after day, you will make a must effort to fulfill them. As today's scripture urges us, you'd make wholehearted efforts to grow your faith. But even while you confess, my wish is to enter New Jerusalem, do you just stay where you are without making progress? We have to advance towards our goal. We have to press on making progress in faith. So today's message is based on senior pastor's message preached at the 2016 Students, Light and Salt Missions, Young Adults in Canaan's Devotional Service, entitled, To Be Renewed Daily. Hopefully, you will think once again what kind of spiritual goal to set and how to live each and every day to fulfill it. In this sermon, senior pastor talked about two areas we have to examine to renew ourselves daily. And today, we'll apply these two areas to our making progress in faith. In order for us to make progress in faith, first we have to check whether we have the Word in us. While we are headed for a destination, we need to know the directions. If it's our first trip there, we need to find out the directions through a map or a GPS. Likewise, while we are heading to heaven or New Jerusalem, there's no question we need a map informing us of the directions, which is the Word of God. In the Word of God, we find the ways to meet and experience God and also the ways to achieve a heart of spirit and whole spirit. For those who wish to meet and experience God, Senior Pastor advised them to first study the message of the cross series. He advised people who can heartily feel God's love or can't believe in the Lord to do so. He said, if you figure out the heart of Father God who desired to gain true children and sacrifice of our Lord who gave up his own life, how could you not feel God's love? Of course, to make bread of it doesn't just mean to have the message as knowledge in their head. Still, the first thing they have to do is to store it as knowledge. Only then can they hold fast to their message in prayer and gain awakening. If you have no hope for heaven, you need to read the book Heaven and long for it. If you are to receive an answer, you can listen to the message on the seven spirits, discover your shortcomings. If students want to excel in their studies, they can listen to the keys to studying well. If you'd like to achieve a heart of spirit, you need to discover and cast off evil through the messages on spiritual love and the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. Once we have the Word in us, first, let me share a person's testimony. Actually, he came back to this church last October after having been a long absentee. He'd stopped attending church since 2009, but years ago, he had a dream in which senior pastor appeared and talked to him and decided to come back. But with hesitation, he couldn't come back here right away. But last year, as he heard the news of the church, he thought it was about time and finally came back on the church's anniversary. As soon as he came back, he listened to senior pastor's sermons on how to keep the Lord's Day holy, how to offer tithes, etc. While he was attending the church previously, he would often skip Sunday services. But after he came back, he was determined to lead a good life of faith. So what he did first was to listen to messages on keeping the Sabbath day holy and offering the whole tithes. As we read in Isaiah chapter 58, if because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from your doing on your pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable and honor it, then you will take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. After he attended the Sunday services, he went back home, listened to sermons and praise songs until 12 p.m. Previously, he would love to drop by a convenience store and drink a cup of coffee, but on Sundays, he refrained from drinking coffee until midnight. Only after midnight did he go straight to the convenience store to drink coffee. Following senior pastor's teachings, he set apart one-tenth of his income and put it in a section of his wallet. As he listened to sermon messages seeking to meet Father God, the spring arrived. As floral petals flew around in the air and warm breezes blew, he wanted to go out to somewhere to see flowers. So after the Sunday service, instead of going home straight, he headed for a park. He enjoyed seeing beautiful flowers and watching people hanging out in the park. After enjoying the spring atmosphere, he went home. The following Sunday as well, he did the same in the park after the service. And again, the next Saturday, he finds himself already excited about enjoying the spring flowers and breezes after the service. He wondered who the preacher was. He wished that the preacher would make his message short. Then, the Sunday morning dawned. What do you think happened to him? His feet began to hurt so badly. It was painful to even take a step. He barely made it to church with a limp. After the service, he dropped by a hospital to find out what happened. Even the doctor looked mystified, saying that he had no idea what was causing the pain. He first looked back on himself because he'd heard the sermons. He repented of having allowed worldly things in his heart and having failed to keep the Sabbath holier. He thought after 1 or 2 days, he would find out why such pain struck him. Because it was Father's chastisement of love, something must have happened after his repentance, right? The next morning, he found that the pain had completely disappeared, as if nothing had happened. As he made bread of the word, he was able to experience the love of Father God who intervenes in all affairs of his life. Like this, the ways to meet and experience God, achieve a heart of spirit, and glorify God, all these things can be found in the Word of God. Once we have the Word in our heart, we wouldn't want to live the way we see fit, but according to the Word. In doing so, we can renew ourselves and grow our faith. While even a novice believer tries to change himself with a word like this, among people who've led a long Christian life are those who lack the word in their heart. Even though they've studied and summed up a lot of sermons, it's because they didn't engrave the word in their heart. Because they misconceive, they know the message well, they don't engrave it in their heart. Some people even say, her sermon is just not my type. It's boring to hear the same kind of message again and again. So they are filled with idle thoughts and doze off during services. Even though they are well aware of the verse, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. The word is not in their heart. Thus, to change ourselves every day and make progress in faith, second, we have to check how much we are applying the word of God to ourselves. As I mentioned earlier, while many people know the word, they are not armed with it. It's not because they lack knowledge of the word, but it's because they fail to apply it to themselves. To check how much you've applied the word to yourself, ask yourself the following three questions. First, while you diligently studied and memorized the words, didn't you consider them not related to you at all? As one of the most common examples, let us talk about peace. Recently, we heard a message, Wisdom from Above, during the Wednesday service. As I seen a pastor emphasize peace in accomplishing God's work, and said that no matter how hard we work to accomplish God's work, once peace is broken along the way, we cannot please Father God. You know, although children love their parents and bring all kinds of good gifts, if they quarrel and hate and one another, the parents would be distressed. So senior pastor added that when it comes to pleasing God, keeping peace is more important. I think most of you have heard Dick's explanation, except for novice believers. I was also impressed by this and still remember it. But if we may fail to apply this when we work for God, because we apply the word only to others, we see only their problems, but we neglect the fact that we clash with others because of our insisting on ourselves or our frameworks. When you see peace broken in your relationships or in your work for God, do you find the causes of the problem from you or place the blame on others and complain about the situation? Recently, I had a chance to discover myself. as I had more things to decide or coordinate as a leader, there were times I discovered myself insisting on my thoughts and opinions. To accomplish some task, I listened to people's comments, considered various situations, and made a decision. Because I was seeking the benefits of the church and others, and chose the good way to fulfill God's work, I was certain that my decision was right. But things ended up going the way different from what I originally planned. I started to feel uncomfortable with such thoughts as, things must have turned out better this way, but why were they done that way? I was frustrated. As I dwell on these thoughts, I even lost the fullness of the Spirit. Meanwhile, I thought, as I'm struggling and eager to accomplish the Father's work, I'm going through such hard times. As this lasted more than 1 month, it even affected my physical condition. I got drained of energy, and my body began to ache here and there. Like I had a stomach ache, many problems happened regarding my health. And every time that it happened, I received prayer and I got healed. Many people came to comfort me, and I also thought I was suffering like this because I work hard for God. I felt so drained to the point where it was difficult to even carry out God-given duties. Then, these thoughts flashed across my mind. Was I right? Did I make a right decision? If I was right, if what I insisted on was according to God's will, shouldn't I have the evidence of my being right? With such thoughts, I first checked myself as to whether I'd borne fruit. While I professed to follow God's will, if I myself failed to do God's will in basic areas, I thought it wouldn't make sense for me to say, I'm following God's will in other areas. You know, what I mean to say is, God obviously told us of His will for us. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. But as for me, I'd lost joy and made confessions of things much less frequently than before. With excuses for God's work, I wasn't praying as fervently as before. I had this awakening. If I failed to do such basics, would my thoughts and opinions be in accordance with God's will? While I failed to rejoice and give thanks and even lose the fullness, it wouldn't make sense for me to say I'm working hard to fulfill God's will. So I laid on myself to re-examine whether I was really right. Father God then began to provide another awakening. I was reminded of the moments I wasn't able to comprehend or figure out some biblical stories. Although I admitted that Father God's words and His will are always right, there were times I saw the biblical stories from fleshly people's viewpoint. Let me give you some examples. First, let's talk about Job's case. Some preachers in different churches argue that Job was a perfect person, but God tried him for no reason. Because he endured it well, God blessed him. Actually, I couldn't agree with them at all. But Senior Pastor explained the reason why God subjected Job, who was perfect in his deeds, to trials. God allowed him to discover and cast off evil, and through that trial, Job was blessed even more greatly. Without knowing God's profound will, we would have misunderstood God. Yes. However, I did understand God's having tried Job, but with my fleshly thoughts, I had questions regarding his children. In the trials, you know, Job's children faced death all of a sudden. I thought, why did they deserve this? Even though the Bible doesn't provide all the details, there must have been a reason according to God's perfect justice. From the fact that Job offered sacrifices after they had a feast, we can infer that his children were not quite trustworthy in terms of faith. For some children, leaving this earth that early could have been a chance for salvation. For other children, they could have been a source of distress to Job because they had a lot of evil in heart. Anyway, in the justice and love of God, who has no variation or shifting shadow, nothing could be imperfect. Now I can understand their deaths this way, but when I involved my fleshly way of thinking previously, I couldn't understand God having taken away his children just to bless Job. Next, let's talk about Rahab. Do you think of her as righteous or not righteous? She well-treated and helped the Israeli spies. As a result, when the city of Jericho crumbled down, her family survived, and she was included in the genealogy of David. Just hearing the news about God, she feared God and well-treated the people who were God's chosen. You know, but from the viewpoint of the citizens of Jericho, she must have been a bad woman who betrayed her nation. According to our common sense or conscience, she is a betrayer. So I thought, if I had been a citizen of Jericho, I would have detested her. But she was such a good-hearted woman who well-treated the God-chosen people. But my point of view was different from that of God, like this. Let me give you the last example. This is a parable spoken by our Lord. A master of a vineyard hired his workers and had them work from early in the morning. He paid them daily wages for their labor in the vineyard. After some time, however, as he went out and found some people idly spending time without work, he called them to labor in his yard from that time forward. But as he went out again in the evening, he still found people without work. Having mercy on them, he called them to work for him as well when it was only 1 or 2 hours left to call it a day. Now, if you were the master, how would you pay them their wages? I think I would pay each of them differently. For those who've worked from early on, I would pay more. And for those who came later, I would pay less for sure. But the master paid each of them the same amount of wages, regardless of whether they came early or later in the day. As people who came early in the morning complain about this, he said that they had to be satisfied because they were paid as initially promised. But I couldn't understand this incident. Should people who came later be paid less? Wouldn't this be fair? But while serving as a pastor, I had an awakening. When I saw some church members without a job, luckily being hired by a generous businessman, I couldn't have been happier. Even though they had no specific skills, a businessman saw them in a good way and allowed them to work under good conditions. Then, as if I were their mother, I was very, very thankful to him. With a heart of mother and a shepherd, I didn't care whether it was equal or fair. I just thought he had a lot of love and extended such favor to needy people. This way, I could understand the heart of the master, who paid all of them the same way. Still, I think some of you view this from the perspective. Hearing the three cases I've mentioned so far, I think some of you view all the cases with point of view, God's point of view. Others may find themselves having fleshly perspective, similar to what I used to have. But But even if there are much more people whose point of view is different from God's, whatever God does can never be flawed or wrong. We read in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." Seen from the eyes of love, what Vineyard Master did was of more goodness. In regard to Job's children, we'll see the reason why when we meet them in heaven. As for the city of Jericho, it couldn't avoid the destruction according to God's justice, but Rahab had goodness and love that exempted her from it. We have to remove our way of thinking and look at things with the heart of Father God. Would any of you see something that doesn't agree with your thoughts and say, "God is not right," or "I can't believe in God's love"? So that we may not misunderstand His love because of the incidents beyond our understanding, God has obviously demonstrated His love for us. As said in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, "But God demonstrates His own love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." What could there be more evident evidence than this? God had His Son die on the cross to demonstrate His love and also not to violate His justice. Even though we may not perfectly understand each incident, we cannot say we cannot believe in His love and justice and His perfectness. We shouldn't say that way. Even though my will doesn't agree with that of the Father, even though the timing and the ways that I see fit may differ from those of the Father, as I remember the cases that I just mentioned, I couldn't help but humble myself before the Father. As I decided to lay myself down and look at things with the eyes of the Father, changes happened. Even though I'd been drained of energy, I suddenly got strengthened and recovered the fullness that empowered me to carry out my God-given duties. Thank you. Each of us may have thoughts and opinions that we see fit. Not many people live with a pretext, "I could be wrong." So did I. But God helped me discover myself and provided me with new strength. It's impossible to have such an awakening without the Father's grace. The reason that I could have such an awakening was that even though I had shortcomings, even though I fell short, I basically had greater desire to follow God's will, not mine. So I pondered over and reflected on myself and prayed. In talking about applying the word to ourselves, I've just shared my story of how I discovered my self-righteousness and frameworks. I also challenge you to apply the word to yourself, not others. To examine how well we apply the word to ourselves, we have to look back on ourselves whether we were some people receive a lot of grace and shed tears while listening to sermons. They confess that the sermon was God's direct message to them and make a resolution. But after a few days, they barely remember what kind of grace they received. So they are slow in growing their faith. Unless we apply the word to ourselves and make efforts, we can bear no fruit. We have to keep in mind Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. "For this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it." How do you spend your Sabbath day? It's good that you come to church and go home with a lot of grace. But if that's all, it's no use. We have to hold fast to the message and pray on it during the week. As we make efforts like this, we can see changes at least little by little. As we devote our efforts with all our mind and strength like this, God leads us to be changed and provides with us grace. A few years ago, before I made a, before I made a home visit to someone, I was praying. Then God reminded me of the word progress. He reminded me of the word progress. So I thought, this person must be stagnating in faith. He needs to try hard to make progress in faith. And I met him the next day. But because I hadn't commonly used the word progress, I used the word growth instead. I advised him like, you should make growth of faith. Then this man responded with a bright smile. You know what? I had a dream recently. There, senior pastor appeared to me and advised me to make progress in faith. So I said, while I was praying for you, the Spirit reminded me of the same word, progress. But because I don't use that word often, I changed it to growth of faith. Because you heard the same word in your dream, I urge you to make sure to make progress in faith. It was the first time he'd received a visit from me. Because I advised him with the same word, this strengthened his faith more, I think. He loudly said amen with a bright look on his face. But as I checked up on him later on, even though he failed to pray more, he failed to make efforts more. Moreover, as the church recently faced some situations, he said he would briefly take a break from attending church. Because he did say he would briefly take a break, I believe he will come back. But more than anyone else, when I think of him, I feel regretful. It was 4 years ago when I made a home visit to him. God obviously delivered his will to him, which was make progress in faith. Sometimes we experience God's grace by way of home visits, the word, or dreams. We give glory to God through healing or receive his answers. We have to engrave his grace and love in our heart. To pay back the grace we received, to make spiritual awakening our own, we should make wholehearted efforts. If we keep making efforts for our change, as the Holy Spirit in us will rejoice, we are happy in our walk with the Lord. As our efforts pile up, God provides special favor to make our faith grow a lot. Thus, I challenge you to engrave the grace in your heart and change yourself daily with wholehearted efforts. To examine whether we are applying the word to ourselves, we have to check ourselves as to how faithfully we work for God with gratitude for his grace. Once we receive God's grace through the word, we are not satisfied with just having received the grace. We feel like doing something for the Lord. We want to glorify God as a choir member. We want to glorify God through volunteer works or by sharing the gospel. We clean up the sanctuary. We clean up the church cafeteria. We look for things. Even while doing so, we don't seek others' recognition or expect something in return. We are just grateful for God's grace and happy to do something for Him, for God. As they work with such gratitude, God joyfully accepts our heart's aroma and helps them change quickly. Let me share another man's testimony. When I visited him, he said he had been waiting to meet me. This happened around the Easter performance. He suffered from dizziness. When the dizziness got severe, he even vomited. So he always had to carry a plastic bag. It was on one Sunday. This day, he also suffered from dizziness to the point where he couldn't look at the screen properly. And after the sermon was over, the presider made an announcement. Because we have the Easter performance, we need volunteers to move the pews to prepare for the stage. So, but after the service was over, one of his friends came and recommended him to do volunteer works. So he decided to do volunteer works, and he stood up. But as soon as he started working, since then, he confesses that he had never had dizziness ever since. According to him, as soon as he stood up to do volunteer works, he was healed. This shows how delighted God is when we do volunteer works for Him. You know, 2 weeks later, we have the anniversary celebration. I mean, I hope that many of you will participate in volunteer works for the anniversary preparation. You know, as we work faithfully, we can also discover ourselves, having more opportunities to change ourselves. As we deal with many souls and face various situations, we can find our shortcomings. So we strive more to resemble our Lord and figure out the Father's heart more deeply. Of course, such things happen when we work with an aroma of gratitude. Hopefully, you can renew yourself daily by working faithfully and doing volunteer works. Today, I delivered a message based on Senior Pastor's sermon entitled, to sum up, first, we have to check whether we have the word in ourselves and whether we apply the word to ourselves. And to check how well we apply the word to ourselves, we have to look back on ourselves whether we apply the word, whether we don't let go of the grace but engrave it in our mind, whether we demonstrate His grace through faithfulness or volunteer works. The other day, I watched the musical titled Ben-Hur, which was adapted from the famous film Ben-Hur. A Jewish man named Ben-Hur was betrayed by his friend and his family was destroyed. To revenge his friend, he endured grueling days as a slave. To take vengeance for his family, he messed up his friend's success and saw him in a wretched and miserable situation. But even after he revenged his friend, he felt all the more empty and unfulfilled. He was overcome by agony, thinking, "Did I endure all these years just for this?" What was worse, his mother and brother were afflicted with leprosy. Because leprosy was seen as a curse, he couldn't live with them. His hope was gone. Moreover, he thought the man named Jesus would be their king. So he fought for freedom from the Rome. But even Jesus was sentenced to death and suffered crucifixion. He screamed in despair. He endured all the grueling days, but he had nothing and without hope. He crouched down on the ground, screaming and weeping. As if he were out of his mind, he laughed loudly. All his hopes were gone. But at this point, as Jesus died on the cross, His grace came upon His leprous mother and brother. They were perfectly healed and returned to Ben-Hur. Embracing them, He was overwhelmed and shed tears of joy and accepted Jesus as the Messiah. Then, harboring a new hope of faith, He pressed on towards the Jews, and the musical ended. Actually, at some scenes, I was out of control, crying bitterly in the theater. As I sympathized with Ben-Hur, who lost all his hopes, I wept. And at another scene where the situation reversed and he fulfilled his hope, I cried again. At the same time, I had another awakening. With the goal of revenging his friend, he endured such harsh days. Even though he succeeded in taking vengeance against his friend, he felt so empty and unfulfilled. It's because revenge or success cannot be our true goal of life. So, what kind of goals do you have in life? While going through this trial, I solidified my goal in life. As I got disappointed by people of whom I expected a lot, as I couldn't see the shepherd whom I looked to and followed for a long time, I had an awakening that I have to be able to take responsibility for my life. I thought I had to be mature in faith. In doing so, I pondered what the final destination of my life is. I asked myself, where should I be headed? In what direction should I go? After thinking about it, the conclusion was New Jerusalem. Even though the situation went beyond my expectation, the truth remained the same. You know, people who used to lead a Christian life with me are no longer with me. Even while the world, the people's heart changes, there was something that never changes. It is the truth. Truth never changes. Even while the world changes, even while people's heart changes, there's something that never changes. That is truth. Because I have shortcomings, because I'm not wise enough to discern all things, I try to find the definite, absolute truth that doesn't even need to be discerned. I tried to find something that doesn't even need to be discerned. There are many facts. All the words of God are truth. But what obviously came to mind were as follows. The purpose of Father God's creating me, and the fact that He put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil to make me into His true child and share love with me. These facts are the absolute truth that can never change, even if the earth is split into two. I'm certain that this is the Father's will. Even though I try to doubt it, I can never doubt this truth. While I'm aware of the Father's will and His plans for me, how could I abandon my goal of becoming His true child? So, I made up my mind to run towards sanctification until I die. As long as we have this goal, we shouldn't take a break from making progress in faith. If we know God's will for us, we should set a clear goal, make wholehearted efforts, and make progress in faith. So, as we heard from the lyrics from the special song, you know, they shouted, "Let's go, let's go." So, let's shout together. Let's advance, make progress in faith.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centers, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases, such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.